Well, praise God, Barbara. I get so excited about this subject because this can change lives. Many of these things that we're going to share today have changed my life at times. And I believe
changed your life at times.
At times. Yeah, it's still changing.
That's
it's still changing.
It is.
You know, I think we can never say, well, I've arrived and I don't have to make any more changes. And, you know, sometimes the human condition resists change. You know, we just don't want to change anymore. We're just tired. And we say, I don't ever want to move again. I don't ever want to change jobs again. You know, I don't want to make any more adjustments. I'm just comfortable. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't believe that's God's plan. I believe it's go ye all the way through the Old Testament. It was go ye. He was sending people from one place to another, and it even happened in the New Testament.
Yes.
If you look at Paul's travels, he was all over the place. He was a highly traveled individual. But anyway, let's begin with prayer. And would you pray before we begin?
Father, we just thank you that you have placed us all on the same level playing field. And Lord, you want each and every one of us to be a success and a blessing on this earth. Lord, I know that this teaching is going to bless many hearts because you have a perfect plan for each and every one listening. And I thank you, Lord, for the rhema, for this lesson. And I thank you, Lord, that you are Lord. You are Lord over all the earth. We can depend on you. And bless this teaching that we may say everything that you ask us to say, that it might be of eternal value. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
You know, Barbara, and leaving your past behind, and a lot of people need to do that. They're stuck. And I was thinking about this earlier this morning. Some people are stuck in the mud. Some are stuck in the ditch. Some are just in a position that they've, you know, they've done the same job for 5 years, no changes and almost no raises. And I want to suggest to you that you think it through. If you got to be at the top dog in your unit, say, for example, and that foreman is making $16.50 an hour and you're making $13, and you say, well, if I could just get to be foreman in this outfit, you know. Well, let me tell you, a lot of times in business they give you a title and you think you're really somebody, but where's the dollars?
Well, and also, Darren, you know, it's been 8 years since we taught on this. Our tape series was called Possessing Your Inheritance. And we did that 8 years ago. And if you will look over the 8 years since then, so much has happened. God has really collapsed time and multiplied the anointing, as you say so many times, because he has prospered us. He has gotten us out of debt. He has put a plan in our heart. And this is an update even of our lives. So we don't want you to think that we're such hot dogs that we're going to tell you what to do, because this is part of our learning the last 8 years. It's marvelous, Darren. What God has done is marvelous.
Yes,
in our
has.
Eyes.
You know, I was just thinking when we made that first message, Possessing Your Inheritance, we lived in a leased house. We were leasing a home.
Mm-hmm.
The people that owned the home called us from the East Coast. They said, we've decided to come back to Denver early, meaning that you've got to move. Well, I was, that was so hard on me. I just thought, man, we just gotten settled here, and now these people are booting us out. We went to the next house. We leased that for 2 years, and the people did the same thing to us again. And, you know, that's when God moved in and did a mighty miracle. He says, you know something, you're not going to rent anymore. You're going to buy a house. And he took us out and he showed us how to buy a house. And we bought that house, and it just was a marvelous blessing.
Do you know what that does in the spirit? It stabilizes a person. When you're renting, you're never quite sure about what the person who owns the property is going to do to you. And I believe, Darren, when God says, you're going to buy now, because we needed to be stabilized so that we could concentrate and focus on the spirit rather than the physical. And for so many years, we'd just been so focused on the physical, our physical life, because we'd been moving so much that we weren't doing anything really congruent. So I believe God has a special plan for you today. He doesn't want you just running around, you know, just like loosey-goosey, just not knowing what to do and where to go. He wants you stabilized so he can plan things in the spirit with you.
You know, he had more than that planned for us when we bought that house. We stayed there 5 years, and we made $75,000 on that house, but it was a forced deal. God says, now, here, what are you going to do? You're up against the wall. Are you going to trust me? Well, we trusted him. It was hard, really, really hard, but we trusted him, and it just turned out to be a marvelous blessing.
It really did. and we made a lot of improvements on the home. We left it so much better than how we found it. And Darren, I am so encouraged by this teaching today, because, friend, you really have to leave your past behind. Some of you have been on the mountain too long. You've been at the mountain too long. You've been at the foot of the mountain too long, and you need to turn around and take up your journey with the Lord. It's going to be so exciting. And Darren, it is hard for people to make a decision to change their lives. It really is. If they're stuck in a job or they're stuck in a home for 18 or 19 years, it is so hard to move. But sometimes God is saying that's where the glory is, in your move or in the change of your job.
Well, you know, when the flesh screams and your emotions scream, I don't want to move. I'm comfortable right here. But, you know, maybe a thing that you could do is plant some seed. If you see someone else that's about ready to make a change in their life, maybe you could help them in some way. Mm-hmm. And I'm really serious about that. Plant some seed for your move. And I believe God goes to work on the seed concept, and it would be a real blessing to you when you make a decision.
Yes. Well, do you spend a lot of time thinking about the past in your old life? You know, as we're studying this, the text that we are studying from is Numbers 13 and 14. And we see here the children of Israel were determined, absolutely determined, on several occasions to go back to Egypt, where they had eaten the leeks and the garlic. They forgot about the hard labor and the sorrow and the grief they were going through on a daily basis to make bricks for the Pharaoh and to do all of his labor. They forgot about all that. All they remembered was the food and how they had eaten better than they're eating. Did they eat better than they were eating out in the wilderness? I don't believe so. But sometimes our imaginations and our memories go on a trip of some kind, and we lapse back and think the past is better than the present, and it's not true.
Well, they were thinking about the good old days, but it was the good old days in slavery. You know, they were not free. They were not free. They were slaves for many, many years.
That's right. And then when the 10 spies came back, and they said, you know, they are like giants in our eyes. And we cannot have the grasshopper mentality here. God's plan for you is that He will take you through it. You don't go on your own. He will take you through it. And it's so important, Darren, that we do not feel like we're grasshoppers. In Numbers, when they came back, they said that they were like grasshoppers in their eyes. In chapter 13 of Numbers, we cannot think of ourselves as grasshoppers.
Yeah, but they said two things there. We are like grasshoppers in their eyes and in our eyes also. In other words, their self-concept was one of a grasshopper mentality. But
yes.
And I like the way you put that. But I'd like to say this. Many of you are not going to change until you change the view of yourself, until you start believing what God says about you. Mm-hmm. And you might believe what your family said about you for years. Maybe you're stuck with a nickname that's not very pleasant, and it's a real downer for you. And maybe you're loaded with shame and guilt and you know, all the downers. You need to unload that and start believing what God says about you, because He loved you so much He called you His child.
Yes.
And I think of 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God. We're not a bunch of nobodies. We're very special people.
That's right. We really are. Yes, here in Numbers 13:33, if you'd like to follow along in your Bible and say, I am not going to be this. There we saw the Nephilim, or the giants, the sons of Anak, who come from the giants, and we were in our own sight. You're absolutely right, Darren. It starts with a low self-esteem, unworthiness, and we look at ourselves sometimes as grasshoppers compared to the challenges ahead. Stop doing that. Stop looking at yourself as inadequate. You are adequate for everything God calls you for. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight.
Now, I'd like to just diagnose here just a minute. We've got two sets of spies. Actually, we've got one set, 12 spies, but two of them are very negative. Now, there were 10 spies that had an internal vision, internal passion to take the promised land. The others, when they got over there and they were away from leadership that they'd been used to back with, you know, when they were under Moses and Aaron. And now they're over there, and because they have no internal vision, no vision of their own, they get negative, and they start saying, oh my gosh, look at this terrible, why these cities have walls around them. Why this is Anak, the giants are in the land. Why, we could never conquer this place. It's a land that devours its inhabitants. That's what they said when they came back.
Yes.
But there were two spies there that had an internal vision of God is with us, and we are well able to take them, is what it says. We're well able to take them. Let's go get them, because God is with us. But the loners, the 10 spies that were negative, that had no internal vision, all they could see is, oh, man, we'll go over there and they'll kill us all.
Could it be like some people, when they're in church on Sunday and they're in the praise and worship, they're clapping their hands and they're dancing and they're praising God, during the week they forgot. They forgot. They forgot they were believers. They forgot they served a wonderful God. They get fearful. They get grumpy and complaining. And Darren, I've seen it so many times. The people that sometimes sing the loudest and praise God the loudest on Sundays are the most fearful, and they shrink back worse in the week during the weekdays, than even unworldly.
What I think they do is when they go home and they take off their Sunday clothes, their nice clothes, and hang them up, they also take off that spiritual garment that they were wearing in the church when they were dancing around and singing.
But did they ever have it on?
Well,
or is it just an act?
It was temporary. It was almost like, you know, when kids go to a high school prom, the boys go out and they rent a tuxedo. It's not theirs. It's rented. Mm. Some of these people act like, well, this is just a rental outfit. It's my gig for Sunday. You know, I've got to act like I'm spiritual when inside I'm really not.
So they're depending on somebody else for their spiritual. And here is where this is a really great lesson, Darren, that you brought
up. Yes, it is.
The two spies, Caleb and Joshua, they were living in their own spirits, built up from being with Moses and being with Aaron. They had built up their own spiritual foundation, like it talks about in the New Testament, the man who builds his house on a foundation. And when the tests come and the storms come, the house isn't swept away.
See, I believe they had an expectancy. Man, we're looking around. This is going to be ours.
Yes.
We got to get over here and take it.
Absolutely.
And after all, God is with us. Now, I believe that Joshua and Caleb could see and sense that God was with them.
Yes.
The other fellows, I don't think they saw that at all. I think they thought, you know, we've been over here, and if you stop and think about it, they were over there almost 6 weeks. They were over there 40 days. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have somebody around encourage them all the time and, you know, saying, come on, let's go for it. That leadership is so important. They were out from under the covering, at least temporarily, of Moses and Aaron, and they couldn't handle it on their own. Mm-hmm. They were alone.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, today I believe that we've got to get a vision that God is with us. We got to see him as with us. And that's what omnipresence really means. He is present there with us. He's always with us, no matter where we are, whether we're at work or going to work or whatever. Just yesterday, God was with me twice. I almost had an accident. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I rubbed the wax off this gal's door that pulled out in front of me and didn't stop.
Wow.
And the other time, there was another guy, and one was in Denver, one was in Greeley. But, you know, God protected us because I know that God is with us and angels are with us protecting us. And there were just two examples yesterday.
Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad you brought up the word omnipresent, Darren, because, friend, you are serving a mighty God, a God who's omnipotent. He has unlimited authority and power. He is Almighty God. You have a God who's omniscient, who's all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows around the corner. He knows 5 years from now where you are going to be. And a God who, like Darren, like you said, omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. He knows what's going on in every corner of our world. What a mighty God we serve.
Well, I like the word omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Now, I believe this, that he could have put his hand down there and stopped my fender from running into that gal's door because where I was headed.
He most certainly did.
He also moved some other cars around because I had to mooch over and take part of another lane to keep from crunching this gal. And notice I said woman. It was a woman driver. But the
second
one
was
a man because you were with me. It was a man driver. But, you know, we drive a lot of miles, but we have an expectancy that God is omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's with us in power. And he also is there with all his wisdom, and he will tell us what to do.
Yes. Oh, praise God. And remember, friend, he's Jehovah Jireh. He told Abraham when he was about to sacrifice Isaac, I'll take care of you. I'll be your provider. He is Jehovah Jireh for you today. Well, you know, when Moses said...
Wait just a minute before you move off Jehovah Jireh. A lot of times we think that's just in provision, but it's also protection. He is Jehovah Jireh, our protector. He's protecting us with his power and his glory, and he knows what to do. He knows how to keep us out of an accident.
Well, when Moses sent those 12 out to scour and spy out the land ahead of them, and Darren, they were at the very threshold of the promised land, at the very doorstep of the promised land, when these 12 spies went out looking for 40 days.
But the spies were in the promised land.
Yes, but the people were right there at their destination, right there. And, oh, so many of you are right there. We're so excited for you, and we want you to just step in and step into that glorious adventure God has for you. But it's without, you know, it isn't without challenges, Darren, because here they came up against walled cities. Now, they had been nomadic, so they lived in tents. They didn't have walls around their cities. And when they came into Canaan and spied, they probably had not seen walled cities before, having lived their childhood in Goshen in Egypt. And they also saw all the goodness of the land that God had promised them. Those who forgot God's power to help them naturally found the situation formidable. And in the Amplified, at the very footnote on the page of Numbers 13, it says, God makes all the difference between cowards and Calebs. I love that. God makes all the difference between cowards and Calebs.
You know, I think about our son-in-law, Matthew, told me he was driving, I think, in New York City, and he headed into a tunnel. I think it was the Lincoln Tunnel. And he said, my goodness, why don't they turn on the lights in here? Then he realized he had his sunglasses on. I bring that up to say this, that I believe some people have filtered vision of what they're looking at. And they don't really know that they're looking through a prism or through a glass darkly. Mm-hmm. Maybe their glasses are dirty, or maybe they're tinted. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's tinted with depression or tinted with fear or with unworthiness. And they see everything through that idea, through that image. I believe that these spies got into that. They were seeing it all backwards. Now here are two of them. They said, man, this is our deal. We're well able to, because we've got God with us. Let's go in and take them. This is our land anyway. Mm-hmm. This has been promised to us. Let's go in and possess it.
Yes, but even the bravest man, Darren, and the most confident man in his own power cannot do what God can do.
That's right.
And I really want to warn you here. If you're trying to do something on your own, it will never get done. It will never get done. And I've tried it. And Darren, I know you've tried it on your own. And it only really results in failure most of the time, and having to go back again, just like the children. They had to go back for 38 more years and walk that desert before they got into the promised land.
But you see, one reason that we get messed up is we don't look at our assets. And we need to sit down and say, what do we have going for us today? Well, one thing that you have going for you is that God's with you. Mm-hmm. Not only that, He knows everything. He's been way out in the future. He's been in the past. He's been on both sides of you and all this kind of stuff. And you need to make sure that you're counting on His presence that is with you.
Yes.
To be a part of your assets. What do you have? What's available to you there?
That's right. When you decide to go with God into the future, it's very important that you have a garage sale. Yep. It's very important you have a garage sale. And let go of the items in your life that have dragged you down. And Darren, so many times we've wanted to go on to a new venture or new something, dragging back stuff from the past behind. And it's just like a U-Haul. And you've said so many times, you could go to Australia, and if you've got a U-Haul full of the past, it's not going to help you in what you're trying to do for the future. So we really recommend that you have a garage sale.
Now, I want to say this, Barbara. We're working with one individual who wants to move across the country. And very honestly, everything she has is junk. And she has a nice refrigerator, but you know, something, they sell refrigerators where she's going. Mm-hmm. And they also have used furniture. They got everything that she could duplicate what she has in an afternoon.
Isn't it strange that the first time she said she was going to move, she said, I'll just leave everything because everything is junk. And the longer she stays there, the more she is piling on the junky possessions that she had to take with her. I could probably really use that. The longer we sit there and contemplate, if God has called you to move and you sit there and contemplate and you don't make that move, you're going to grow more doubtful, and unbelief is going to tempt you, and fear is going to come upon you. And we're seeing that actually in a person's life here right now.
But you see, sometimes they say, well, if I'd sell all this stuff, or I'd give it away, or I'd have a garage sale, you know, I've got to buy it when I get to the other end, when I get to the end of my journey. And And now here's fear. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I have the money. I might have to do without something I desperately need. Well, where's the factor of trusting the Lord?
Okay, if you sold everything, and there are just a few things, like you said, a refrigerator, even the washer and dryer are used, and you spend $2,000 on a truck to haul all this stuff in, all this junk, and all the gas besides, and rather than just load up the van and go across country, you'd have $2,000 there that you could work with to buy new things. Even if you go to garage sales, you've got $2,000 there in your pocket. But see, people usually don't think that way. And you know, friend, if you think you can go on to new things and continue in the old screwed up lifestyles, you're kidding yourselves. And your sins will find you out. And that's Numbers 32:23. Yes, your sins will find you out. That is so true.
Now, you see, sometimes we think, well, sins are just actions. No, it could be an attitude. It could be I'm holding on to fear when I know good and well I ought to get rid of it.
It's probably a habit that established itself in our identity. So we got to work on establishing new identity for ourselves, because sometimes those old habits are who we are, and we need to find out, get a new me going here, and, you know, go get through the challenges. Darren and I realize in these last 8 years, from the first time we did this till today, that I have had to change my prayer habits. I've had to change my way of looking at so many things. I've had to let go of so many things that I thought were security in my life because they weren't. If you will think back, there's so many changes just in our identity of who am I? Who am I, Lord? Show me who I truly am.
But, you know, when it comes to some of the furniture and some of the things that we hold on so dearly and so tenaciously, if we stand back and look at it with new eyes and say, Lord, let me see this stuff like you see it, he might just take the veil off of our eyes and say, you know, you're holding on to a bunch of junk because that's been your security. Mm-hmm. I can give you new things down the road, so you need to pull up stakes, as they say. You need to have a garage sale, or you need to call one of the Goodwill and say, come get this stuff. I'm putting it on a curb. And they'll relieve you of a whole bunch of problems. You know,
will.
We had a garage sale a while back, and you just can't believe the good deals those people had, because they'd buy one thing, I'd put on two more things. I'd say, and what I wanted them to do was haul it off.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, even the little baby bed, we'd drug that thing around for years thinking that our grandchildren would use it. And every time our children would bring their babies, they have these foldable these things that would fold up in the vehicle, and that's what they slept in. I don't think we used that baby bed two or three times, and so we just sold it. And it was, you know, it was a blessing for those that bought it, because we had such great prices.
It was a great giveaway is what it was.
But things that we'd had just hanging around, well, you know, I think maybe one of these years I can use it. Well, just give it away, and you will be so surprised how light you feel and how ready to get on with something new. And Darren, that's what this lesson is about today. It's getting on with a great new future with God.
You know, I think about that commercial where the guy's in the garage working, and all of a sudden he realizes something's going on, and his wife's got a for sale sign on his hot rod.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
selling all his
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, he tears it off the car immediately.
But how many times have I seen somebody dragging an old car on a rental wagon or rental, really a trailer, mm-hmm. across the country? And I say, why are they doing that? And they were emotionally tied to this old piece of junk. And they said, one day I'm going to restore this thing. And they've got the fenders piled on there. They're not even hooked on the car.
A good example, Darren. Last week we saw a couple who we've been acquainted with for several years. And there were three vehicles in front of their house when we came to have dinner with them, to take them out to dinner. And one of the cars was an old muscle car. And he says, well, that's my old car. You know, I can't do without it. Well, he has had three knee replacements. He's had a hip replacement. You had to pull him out of the vehicle. He can't get in and out on his own. And he's got this car. I mean, when's he going to drive it again in his life? God bless him. You know, we think that we've just got to hang on to things when we really need to let them go. And the important thing is, the promised land has many wonderful features for you, but it can only be enjoyed by the overcomers of this world. You've got to be an overcomer. And that means if you got to have a garage sale, get rid of that stuff you've been hanging on to.
You know, I've been around a lot of antiques in my life, And I know some people hold on to, say, now that was my grandmother's. And you look at it and you say, well, okay, so you have an emotional attachment to this thing. Yes, I do. If I took everything else out of my house, I just got to keep that. Well, sometimes we need to think about these emotional attachments. Mm-hmm. Say, now, what is this? Well, why am I doing this? Am I trying to maintain grandma's memory because I think grandma would be so proud of me or, you know, whatever? And a lot of times we just flat don't think it through.
Yes.
And if we did think it through, we'd have to come face to face with this thing and say, you know, that's rather silly. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that's rather dumb. Maybe, what am I doing? Here I'm an adult acting like a little kid.
Yes.
And maybe I ought to just give that up. It's like I've got a gumball machine. I got to hold on to that because I remember the first gumball I got. Well, you know, my kids used to see a gumball machine a half a mile away. They'd start screaming, oh, there's a car, you know, there's a gumball machine. We'd have to go over there, and they'd have to put their pennies in there and get their gumball. But, you know, I don't see them doing that now that they're adults. But some adults hang on to gumball machines.
You watched this documentary with me where a doctor went over to Africa, and this little boy had legs. He couldn't walk. I don't know what had happened to his one little leg, but it was 6 inches shorter. It had been mangled or something. And he brought him over to America, and they adopted him. He is now their son. And he's 14, and he's enjoying life, anything he wants, because this doctor is very wealthy. So this African boy can have anything he wants. Do you know what he's hung on to? He has a big ball of gum. He sticks his gum with his big ball. He's got a big ball of gum, and he still is hanging on to some of that life in Africa when he didn't have anything to eat. And he's hanging on to this gumball, you know, because he thinks, well, if I don't have any gum tomorrow, I can tear off a piece from yesterday. And he says, and he told the reporter, he said, now this piece of gum is really good. It's cinnamon. I'm going, oh, Lord, do we do that? Do we hang on to that old junk as if it's something we cannot part with? And, Darren, part of that is our identity. And I would like you to pray. There are listeners here that are so regretful about the past.
Right.
They have terrible memories. They don't feel worthy enough to go on to the future. And we got to pray here and ask forgiveness and healing.
You know, really, they're hanging on to the junk. They have something that's tormenting them for. They have a flashback, and that old feeling comes back, and they endure that for a moment, and it just drags them down. Well, it's time to unload that, folks.
Yes.
I got to tell you, and it's like we're going to do a mental spiritual garage sale here. We're going to get rid of a bunch of junk. Mm. So, Father, I just thank you that we have the revelation that we don't have to stay where we are. We can get up and move on. And Father God, you know the future. You know what's around the bend and over the hill and across the river. You know all that stuff. But sometimes we're just locked in. We're paralyzed by those old memories and by the old image we have of ourselves. And Father God, we need a new image, a new self-image. We need to see what you see, Father God. So allow us to look through your eyes back at ourselves and to see us as whole and complete and energetic and ready to go for it and very capable. Father God, we know that you are our capability. I mean, you can do it. So move in real close to us now, Jesus, and I say that you are, and I say that we're ready to lay down those things that are really junk in our lives that we've held on to so tenaciously. But today we're ready to lay it down and get up and go on with you. And we know we're not going to go alone. And Father, I thank you for this new image and this new feeling about ourselves and with the clear vision that we have for the future. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Mm.
Oh,
thank
Jesus,
you.
I just sense that today we unloaded a whole bunch of stuff that we didn't need.
Yes.
We've been holding on to stuff that we've never used, going to never use it again.
Oh,
thank you,
Lord.
Jesus, for freedom. Amen.
Amen. I can just see our friends there, the slate of their life, and what do you call it? The tablet of their heart, the blackboard of their life is now clean.
Right.
God's cleaned it all off. It's now brand new. And take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. You can now see yourself in a different way. And
amen.
I'll tell you what, this next half hour, we're going to tell you what it's going to be like with God managing your affairs and being CEO of your company.
Amen. I'll tell you, that's good news, Barbara. And you know, I love to see people get up, and it's almost like they take their hand across their eyes and they take away the film and that covering and they throw down those old colored glasses that they never needed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And Lord God, we just praise you today that we're changing. We want to change. We want to see life through your eyes, through your potential. Jesus, thank you that you never leave us, and your word says that you will be the truth, and the truth will make us free. Thank you, Jesus. We are being made free today. Amen. Well, when we really want to leave the past behind, many times we've got to change our wardrobe. We've got to change the attitudes that we have toward ourselves and what we say about ourselves. We've really got to change our words.
That's so good, Darren. It really is important that we look at our whole life in perspective to what God is calling us to do. Like the wardrobe thing. If you're from the north and God's calling you to the south, you have to change your wardrobe here. You've got to look at every aspect of your life. Your eating habits. If God wants you to trim down to be able to be more flexible and even physically, you got to say, Father God, you're going to have to help me here, but I need to lose some weight here to begin to understand what His plan, perfect, what God's perfect plan for you is. And we've got to be willing to change in every area of our life.
You know, I'll tell you, we mentioned wardrobe, but I believe that's so important because that wardrobe really speaks about what we think about ourselves. Now, sometimes we look at a piece of clothing that we have and we say, boy, that thing is still not worn out, you know. When I bought it, it was really quality, but now it's way out of style and it looks dumb. And, you know, I just hate to get rid of that thing. Well, I've had it around so long, it just, when I walk in my closet, it just gives me a good feeling about the past. Well, sometimes we've got to get rid of the good feelings, the old memories. And we think about, now, why did I buy that in the first place? And then sometimes that negative baggage rises up there. You know, it's a good thing to have clean the closets out, get rid of the stuff. And I'll say this, some of you need to get rid of some old cologne that you've had for a long time. And it brings back old memories, and not all of them are good.
Well, old cologne can really get stinky,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah.
It really does. But I know just a couple weeks ago, you just were throwing old shoes away. Old wingtips, shoes that had memories connected to them. And I really admire that, Darren, because in today's lifestyle, we're not dressing up nearly as much as we did in the 80s and the 90s. I mean, there were places where you would dress up and, you know, go even to church on Sunday. Today is more relaxed. The clothing are more comfortable. You got a couple really nice walking shoes, a pair of Echoes that are just wonderful. You can dress them up or dress them down. So we're looking at life being more flexible. And
well, see, I like the commercial where the guy went out and put some of his stuff behind the car, and he knew his wife was leaving, and she ran over in the driveway, went out and got it, and he says, wow, now I get to go to Home Depot and buy some more stuff.
I know, she ran over the lawnmower.
Something, yeah.
So he went to Home Depot and got a new lawnmower. I just couldn't believe that. He stuck it right in back of her car.
You know, some people have had to hire people to come in because they didn't have the courage to throw away their junk. And you see them on television, we're doing these great home makeovers, extreme this and that and the other thing. And it's really good because they say, now you're leaving and you're leaving us in charge. And whatever we decide to throw away is okay with you.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just shutting my eyes and I'm leaving. I'll be back in a week. And they go in there and they have one good time throwing out all the junk. Maybe it's a favorite chair the guy had or a picture on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But they change it. And the people come back, and they love the changes.
They love the change. You know, one of the things in leaving the past behind, it's laying down pride. And a lot of times, Darren, we're hanging on to stuff that have memories for us. Okay, for instance, if you got a 300 game in bowling, and so you got a trophy, and you've been sticking that little trophy up in the window for 30 years. You know, it's time to take that little trophy down. And I'm talking about ribbons and all that kind of stuff. Oh, yeah, man, I won this cake contest when I was 19 years old. And how old are you now? 55. All right, it's time we do without that. And so many times we're living in the past, and we need to lay down the pride. We need to put all that stuff together and just have a little, I would say figuratively, a little bonfire or a little trash party and just throw it out.
What about the people that save their wedding cake? They put it in the freezer.
And,
you know,
no.
10 years later, they still got that crazy thing in the freezer.
Icicles hanging off
space.
Of it. Yes, and, you know, it's really, we have to look at our life, and we do have to have a thorough spring house cleaning in our lives, in our spirit man, too. Forgiving ourselves when we think of things that have gone wrong. It's like I was talking to you, and you said, I don't see my life as failures. I see my life as experiences where I can get to the point where God has the plan for me, has that perfect plan for me. And it's so true.
See, I think we need to say sometimes, I may be down, but I'm never out. You know, I do think of a farm couple that I visited one time in northern Colorado, and I walked in and I walked down the hall and into a bedroom, and they said this was our son's bedroom, but he went to the war and he was killed. Now they have everything there still, yes, just like that. It's almost like a memorial. It's almost like, well, it's an old memory. And that old couple had not moved on at all.
Oh.
And they were still celebrating the life of that young man that's no longer with them. And tragic as it is, you know, they would have been better off at some point to say, all right, we're going to give up his clothes. And, you know, that bed was still made and everything was on the nightstand just like it was when he was still home.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes we have to say, as grievous as it is, I've got to let it go and move on, because now I'm paralyzed in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still living in the 50s or the 60s, and now we're in a whole new century, and I need to move on.
One of the things after John died, my first husband, was the fact that his clothes were there hanging in the closet. And I gave a couple things to the girls who really wanted his watch and a special sweater and things. But I gave everything else to Goodwill. And the other week I was watching Extreme Makeover, and this husband, who is a pastor, had died. And they took his old clothes in Extreme Makeover, and the older women of the church, this was so good, they took little pieces of his favorite pieces of cloth and made quilts for all four children.
I saw that.
Beautiful little throws of all of the different pieces of clothing that he had worn. The children just loved that. And what a great idea to have something like that in of memory, but not keeping the clothes hanging in a closet or anything. That's just not going to be good for you. On this journey, leaving the past behind, there must be no rebellion or fear. No rebellion or fear allowed. I mean, Darren, you know, there can be times when when you're thinking about what God has for you and, you know, you break into a cold sweat. I mean, that's normal. But don't allow your spirit man to shrink back in any way, shape, or form of what God is calling you to.
Well, I want to read a scripture here. We were talking about this morning, but sometimes we need to move on. But here it says in Jeremiah 17:5, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength." Sometimes I think we hold on to some of these things in the flesh and we think it's going to make us stronger.
Mm-hmm.
"But whose heart turns away from the Lord, he will be like the bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes." I think when we hold on to the past with such a tenacious grip, we don't see the prosperity when it's going by our door.
No.
"That man will live in stony places in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant." I'm thinking about, we used to drive down a road between Durango, Colorado, and Aztec, New Mexico, and Dad would say to us, "Now you see all that alkali out there?" And here it was, white with alkali, and nothing much was growing there except a few scrub oak things or, you know, some dwarf sagebrush. That land was so bad, nobody could use it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's what these salt places are talking about. It could be we call it alkali flats. Well, you've got to get away from that bad soil. You've got to have good soil if you're going to have a productive garden or whatever you're trying to plant.
Yes.
But God is saying, you're going to miss it, man. You're going to miss it. Prosperity is going to go by your door, and you're going to miss it. And I believe that, but some people hold on to a job of a certain kind. And I say, okay, have you ever thought of this? Have you ever thought this way? If you did the very best in this job, how much could you make, and could you support your family? And some of them are in jobs that can't support their family, not thinking, not,
that's,
you know,
key.
If I were the very best I could be in this shop, could I make enough to support my family?
And that's key, yes.
That's key. You see, I happen to like newspapers. I love the smell of newspapers. I used to deliver newspapers. But, you know, I couldn't make a living selling newspapers on a corner.
No.
You know, I get to know the customers and all this kind of stuff, you know, and have regulars. But, you know, I couldn't make it selling newspapers.
Well, living the lifestyle that you want to live. No, you can't. Now, there are other people that could sell newspapers on the corner, and they're living meager little lives,
and they're happy.
Yeah, existing on, you know, pork and beans and that kind of thing, and they're happy. But you wouldn't be happy there. And when, you know, when we become so fearful that we become paralyzed and we can't not move any further, it's hard for God to even awaken our spirit man at that point. And in Numbers 13, Darren, these 10 spies were so fearful that they confessed they would fall by the sword if they ventured into the promised land. They were just overcome by the fact that these giants were well armed and they were going to destroy them, going to kill everybody. And the truth is, they wanted to go back to Egypt. But the truth is, if they went back to Egypt, they would be destroyed. I mean, here they're talking about these giants would destroy them. If they went back to the old ways, the old past, they would be killed by Pharaoh and his people. They truly would, because they left Egypt in absolute shambles. And if we would just look with spirit eyes at things going on, Lord, it's probably going to be better going ahead with you than going back where I was.
You know, when I lived in Seattle, we had a man that lived next door to us that worked for Foss Tug, and Foss Tug was one of the best jobs that you could get at the time. This man got a possible promotion, and he went home and told his wife, and she said, "I am not moving." And, I mean, she was so adamant about that he had to finally go and turn down the promotion.
Wow.
And it would have been great for him. They were in a little tiny dumpy house. But she would have had to develop new friends and be in a new neighborhood. In other words, she would have had to face fear. But she was so paralyzed by fear that she said, no, no, no. And the man had to turn down his life dream of a promotion to a job that he loved because his wife was so fearful.
That is so sad, Darren. It truly is. You know, when we moved from a town where I had lived for 15 years and we came to Denver, I had that house almost paid for. The monthly payment was only $400, which now just seems like a little drop in the bucket. And it was a beautiful house. It was 3,000 square feet, including the basement. And we had everything really nice there. It wasn't the place for us. And I am so grateful that I didn't hang on to that, because it was the place where my first husband and I had raised our children. And I could look at that with all kinds of gooey sentimentality and say, no, I can't leave this. But I knew the Lord's calling was in Denver, not in Greeley. And going back and forth and taking all that time driving would have not brought peace to our lives, but more stress on the road.
Do you know, it took us 2 years to get that figured out.
Well, I know
we put 30,000 miles a year on that car.
Yes.
Until God finally got through to us and said, now, if you're working in Denver, why are you living in Greeley? Why are you driving 60 miles a day to the place where you're working?
Yes. Well, I've got two scriptures here. I love them. Isaiah 43:18-19. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? And Darren, I love what you quoted just a few minutes ago in Jeremiah 17. Because if you're not aware in the spirit that something's going on, you might miss it. And God says, will you not be aware of this new thing I'm doing for you? Make sure you're spiritually aware of the things that you're desiring and that God's calling you to. You got to be prepared in the spirit first. And that quote, again, is from Isaiah 43:18-19. And then a special verse from the New Testament is in Philippians 3:13. Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Darren, that should always be our ultimate goal in the Spirit.
Well, you know, unworthiness really has to take flight, and we need to say, be gone, be gone. And I think about, we just recently took the train, the Amtrak train from Denver to Glenwood Springs. And it was about a 7.5-hour train ride. We went through a lot of tunnels. We went through the Moffat Tunnel and many tunnels here on the Front Range. And then we went over and down the Glenwood Canyon. I loved that train trip because I could look across. We were on the south side of the river. I could look across to the north where most of the interstate was. But, you know, they found in the challenge there that they didn't have room enough for the interstate and the river and the railroad, and it was all packed in there between the mountains. So here's what they did. They came along and they took the railroad, or rather they took the interstate highway up, and they built a bridge across, and they shot the the interstate right straight into the mountain, which meant they had to build a large tunnel. Mm-hmm. They took it for, it seemed like a mile underground. And then we came out the other side, and by then the channel or the canyon had widened out, and there was enough room there for everything.
Yes.
I think about that. And then coming back, I made sure that I got on the side of the train so I could see out of the observation car all of this marvelous engineering of that interstate highway. But here was the deal. There wasn't room enough for the road and for the river and for the train tracks. So they had to be creative, and they had to make some changes. And they did that. And I'll tell you, that Hanging Lake Tunnel is an engineering marvel. But had they not been creative and said, well, we don't have room here, but maybe there's another option. Mm-hmm. Well, I believe there's all kinds of options for us. We need to spend some time with the Lord and find out what they are.
Well, that's true. Leaving the past behind means trusting in the Lord and not working everything out in your own mind. It really means letting Him become your manager and CEO of your plans. It means not taking on projects without counting the cost. And I'll tell you, if you do something presumptuously, it will end up in defeat. It truly will. Presumption is a deadly sin. And don't take on too much. Now, you're letting Him be your CEO of your plans. You're not taking on a project without counting the cost, and you're not doing too much. Remember, in Numbers 14, God says, I want you to go in and destroy the enemy little by little. I want you to go in and take that land, your promised land, instead of running in and trying to take over the whole thing. Take it on little by little, lest the wild animals there destroy you in the process. So that's what we're saying you today. When you're trusting the Lord and letting Him become your CEO and of your plans, and when you're counting the cost and not being presumptuous and going ahead of Him, when you're not taking on too much at a time, please, that's such a bad thing. I'll tell you, I think of things that I took on too much, and I was exhausted and full of stress. And Darren, that never works out. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding.
You know, I think a lot of times we need to sit down and say, well, now what have I conquered in the past? Where are the miracles of the past? And God tells us in the end of Deuteronomy that we need to go back and we need to look at the things that He's done for us. Mm-hmm. And you know, He really did that for our family in Egypt. And I say our family. They are our forerunners, our forefathers.
Yes.
He took them out of there with mighty miracles. And I mean, He didn't just settle for the, you know, business as usual. And I think about here in the United States, I've watched some documentaries on the Hoover Dam, for example. When all there was a stream running through that canyon, they decided to dam it up, and now behind that dam is Lake Powell. Also, the Golden Gate Bridge, I watched one on that. What a marvelous engineering feat to take those coffer dams and, you know, they sink them down, and all of a sudden they're clear down to bedrock, and then they can pour the foundations for that Golden Gate Bridge. Mm-hmm. Well, that was not only a marvelous engineering feat, but it really inspired the whole country. That the American ingenuity could do that.
Yes, but it couldn't have been done in the 600s, or it couldn't have been done in the 1600s. I mean, little by little, the technique and the engineering advanced right to a point where they could do what they were doing with the equipment and all of the trucks that they used. So, Darren, it's really important that we know God's plan for us, and we don't overstep our boundaries, I guess, is what we want to say. And also being ready for anything and flexible with everyday planning. I'd like to read Psalm 1. It is so good. It talks about you being a tree planted by the rivers that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Blessed and happy and fortunate is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down where the scornful and the mockers gather. But his delight and desire in the law of the Lord, and on his law and precepts and instruction, he habitually meditates and ponders and studies by day and by night. And he shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. Darren, that's what we desire for our friends, that whatever they do of the Lord is going to prosper and come to maturity. There is a maturity to everything.
Well, now, I've taken on some real projects in my life, but the way I make it through those projects is to think about the payoff on the other end.
Yes, and you also are a remembrancer. It's important that we bring up that word.
That's right.
Moses, and you were just speaking of that a little bit, of going back and seeing the goodness of God and remembering it and bringing it up to those around you. The old victories are good. They stabilize us and give us a faith that we need for the projects ahead.
And you know, we have to rely on that. Sometimes we have to go back, and in a sense, we're dreaming or fantasizing about the past. Of, we need to remember when it was so hard, and remember when God was calling us to move and how he was shutting some doors and opening other doors. We need to remember those times and thank the Lord for that. Just be thankful. God, you got me through that. See, now in my life, he's brought me through so many illnesses and sicknesses. It should have killed me as a little kid, but it didn't. Why didn't it? Because of God's power and his grace and mercy. And even in my adult life, so many things have come against me. But, you know, I am a fighter, because I know if I fight through this thing, God being with me, between God and myself, we're going to get through this thing.
Yes. One thing I've seen in your life, Darren, is you've disciplined yourself to pray for certain things, certain projects in your life. You've disciplined yourself to spend certain amount of time in prayer and certain amount of time in study. You have remembered the goals you've set, and you remember God's goodness in all of this, like, you know, when you were healed when you were young, and the healings that have taken place in your life, and the deliverance in 1978 from a spirit of fear. And we call to mind those old things, because those were wonderful points in our lives where God really did bless us supernaturally. And then you're watching your mouth. And that's really cool to see, because there were times when you wouldn't think before you'd speak, and sometimes what came out of your mouth wasn't quite edifying. And well, you're watching your mouth.
I'm trying to think now. I've got to react here, and I'm trying to think before I speak, lest I hang myself. No, but you've been very good to help me with that, and it is something I need help with, because the Word does say you're going to be held accountable for every idle word.
Yes.
And I had many, many idle words in my life, and I needed to change that. But God was the only one that could help me change that, because that requires a change of the heart. You got to change the heart before the mouth changes, because you speak out of what's in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what the Scripture says.
Yes. Now, I want to come back to this remembrancer thing just for a few more moments. In Numbers 14, God is so tired and sick of the people, he just wants to destroy them all. And Moses is bringing God back to the covenant he made with Abraham. And in Numbers 14, and I believe there are other places where Moses actually brings God to the test or whatever. And how long, God's saying in Numbers 14, how long will this people provoke me and despise me? How long will it be before they believe me? And I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make you, Moses, a nation greater and mightier than they. Then Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear of it, for you brought up this people in your might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are in the midst of this people Israel, and that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and that your cloud stands over them, and that you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you kill all this people as one man, then the nation that have heard your fame will say, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore to give them. Therefore, he slain them in the wilderness. And now I pray you, Lord, let the power of my Lord be great as you have promised. And then he goes into this wonderful prayer, Lord, Darren, that the Lord is long-suffering and slow to anger and abundant in mercy and loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and fourth generation. It is such a precious prayer that Moses is praying here.
Well, you see, at one point, the man in the story said to God, will not the God of all the earth do right? And sometimes I think when we're standing on promises, we need to say to God, will not the God of all the earth do right? God, it's time for you to come through. And we need to wrestle with God. Now, a lot of people are afraid to do that. Too much fear, folks. You need to have confidence. He's saying, come to me boldly, come often, come on. Come on, get up here and talk to me. Well, I believe that's something that I stand on. I say to the Lord sometimes, I've been standing for this breakthrough for a long, long time. Will not the God of all the earth do right? You say in Jeremiah 1:12, you watch over your word to perform it. well, you better get busy, because I've been putting this word out here for a long time, and your word never, never returns void.
Oh, absolutely.
And Isaiah 55:11 says it always accomplishes that for which it was sent out to do.
Yes.
Well, we need to bring God to remembrance, and He wants us to do that. He wants us to say, come on, God, help me out here. I've been standing for a long time on your promise, and the only way I'm going to make it through, and I'm not giving up, by the way, and I'm not going to release my grip. So here I am. You got to deal with me.
Do you think God's going to release
absolutely,
His grip?
Absolutely. God will come through.
He is going to. Remember, friend, you're serving a God who's omnipotent. He has unlimited authority and power. He is almighty. You are serving a God who's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows everything. And you are serving a God who's omnipresent. He is everywhere at once to check over all the details in your life and to move you on ahead to a better and more prosperous life. He has a perfect plan for you, and He's going to accomplish it if you do these simple things of laying down pride, forgiving yourself, not allowing fear and rebellion on your journey, trusting in the Lord and not doing things on your own, and being ready for anything and flexible in everyday planning.
You know, at one point David said, "Oh Lord, it is time for you to act."
Yes.
Well, I tell you, when you get desperate with the Lord and you're standing on His promises, you can get up in God's face and tell Him that. Mm. But you got to get rid of the fear and the intimidation and the unworthiness and all that junk. And you can do that by an act of your will. Say, "Lord, I'm not like I used to be, so help me to think like the new person that I am," because in 2 Corinthians 5:17 it says this, marvelous words. It says, "The past is gone, the new has come, and you become a new creation in Jesus Christ."
Hallelujah.
And we're all new creations in Him. Father God, thank You for this wonderful study. We bless Your holy name, and we thank You that we can wrestle with You when we know who we are and we know who You are. In the powerful name of our Savior, Jesus, who saves us from sin, Amen.